Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversation for practical Christian living. Today, we're on episode number 10, and we are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg. And today, we're going to start by talking about what is biblical joy. So I'm going to pose that question to you. What is the Bible talking about when it talks about joy?
Okay. That's an important question, because rejoicing, finding joy in the Lord, it's the first thing in the Christian life. It's the first great act of faith that we exercise by trusting him there. So what is biblical joy? I think there's a little bit of confusion comes up in our day, and it's come for a good reason, but it mixes vocabulary in the English language that isn't there in the Greek language. And so we make a distinction sometimes between joy and happiness. The Christians have joy and other people have happiness. But biblically, there's no difference between joy and happiness. There is a difference between the joy that a Christian has and the happiness that people who don't know God have. That's true. But joy and happiness aren't different things. They are responses to a positive circumstance. That's what happiness is. Something positive happens, something you really want or need comes to you, and it causes happiness. The outworking of that, the expression of happiness, is rejoicing. So we have joy. That's the inward response to a good circumstance. Rejoicing is the outward expression of that. So that if a team wins a game and you're cheering for that team, you feel happy because you were cheering for them. That's happiness. That's joy. That's a type of joy. Jumping up and down and waving your hands is rejoicing. The cheering is the rejoicing part. So that, but they're both rooted in the same thing. It's important to go back to the beginning when God created to get proper perspective on this. It is not as if Christians shouldn't experience happiness, that it somehow is out of bounds, that we should only experience over here. There are multiple expressions of people experiencing happiness or joy in circumstances that aren't rejoicing in the Lord. That's what we get down. There's a key that's different for us, because we can rejoice in the Lord. Okay. When God made everything, he makes Adam and Eve, and he puts them in the garden. And the garden's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. And it's there for his joy. He gave all those things to Adam to richly enjoy. They were to give when he ate from the fruit, which was very good. It'd make him feel good.
Yeah.
When he met his wife, that should make him feel good. I mean, all those experiences that he had were for the positive. It was a joyous place, but his ultimate joy was that he was in a relationship with God.
Yeah.
All right. So, but there are lots of places where there is joy that New Testament saints find that isn't the rejoicing in the Lord that we're commanded to do.
Yeah.
You can take one, and we were just thinking about it, but Paul, at the end of his life, wanted Timothy to come to him. That's in 2 Timothy. He said, if you could just get here, it would really make me joyous. I might have joy. I can remember. They loved each other. They were good friends. They were comrades in the conflict. And to be back together again would cause him joy. But that's not rejoicing in the Lord. Yeah. Because he may never have gotten there.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a happiness which would have occurred if that circumstance comes to pass, but it's an uncertain circumstance.
Yeah.
He expresses the same thing in Philippians when he says that because of what's true for us in Christ, if you live in unity, my joy will be complete. All right? He says that I'll be rejoicing when the church is living together in unity. And that's a joy which is not rejoicing in the Lord. That's rejoicing in what God's doing in a particular circumstance. But it does have the if clause there. If they don't,
they're just not rejoicing.
Yeah, he's not going to have that joy. So that there is that joy which occurs because of a circumstance, then there is rejoicing in the Lord. So, but they're the same thing. They're still a positive response to a to an input.
So joy is both. So you would say joy is a feeling that is a
It's a feeling,
an emotion that you experience. When what do you think? Where does a Christian ultimately find their joy?
Well, that's the important thing. That's what separates us from everybody else. Now, again, sometimes the teaching concerning the Spirit of God says, walk in the Spirit and you won't feel lust of the flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And a thought comes that somehow that if I just walk in the Spirit, people seem to be a little confused as to what that means, but if I could just do that, then joy would flood my heart. As if that joy is just something God pours out on me. Okay. Now, that is, that doesn't work with the psychology of a human being. You don't just feel joy. You feel joy for a reason.
Yeah.
And you don't feel the joy just because certain things are true. You feel them because you are concentrating on them. Okay, so that if my team was playing a game and I'm hoping they'll win, but I don't have the courage to keep watching the game because it's too tight and I turn it off, they could win, but I wouldn't have joy. I don't have joy about the whole thing. I don't have the happiness about it until I look at the fact that that team did win. And now that truth caused me to rejoice. Okay. What is the source? What is the ultimate source? What's the command of the New Testament with regards to joy? And that is to rejoice in the Lord. Right? And what that means is to put who he is in front of you and what he is to you, which is an unchanging circumstance. And out of that unchanging circumstance comes the response. Response is joy. So the reason that Christian joy is different than human joy is all of the human joys that we can have, whether we're Christians or non-Christians, are dependent on things which can't be guaranteed. Relationships can't be guaranteed. Health can't be guaranteed. Financial security can't be guaranteed. Safety can't. There's just nothing that we can guarantee. We can enjoy it when it goes our way, but we can't secure it. But with regards to the matter of joy, I have a position in Jesus Christ which is eternally unchangeable. And because of that, there is a blessing of God towards me which doesn't alter. And so ultimately, I go back to that, to rejoice in who he is.
And so our joy is completely dependent on our ultimate outcome in Christ.
Right.
And we live in that reality. And sometimes I heard, there's this quote by Augustine, which I appreciated. And he said, "Father, command what you will and grant what you command." Because sometimes it's hard to, well, it is hard. Like, things can go wrong. And because joy is an emotion, or it has to do with that, sometimes hard to just rejoice in, in like a really tough situation. But we're also called to rejoice in the Lord. And so it's a calling. And so in that, the Lord can enable us to rejoice despite our circumstances.
Right. And that's where we get confused at times. We're not called to rejoice in the circumstance. We're called to rejoice in what's true behind that circumstance. In this world, we'll have our bumps and bruises. That's guaranteed. In this world, Lord, last thing he says to the disciples in the upper room is, in this world, you will have tribulation. But cheer up. That's the way John Stott, or not John Stott, Leon Morris puts it. Cheer up. I've overcome this world. And it's that overcoming in Christ that makes it possible for me to face the realities, which is what Paul in the book of Romans in chapter 8, great chapter of the Bible, on this whole matter. Why do we rejoice? Because it doesn't matter what happens to us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing can do that. And because of that, even if, and he puts tribulation, persecution, all those things, famine, nakedness, the sword, bad circumstances, but they're temporary, and the love of God's still towards us. So So rejoicing. Anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So rejoicing becomes a matter of, this is why it's so important in the life of faith. It is the first step in the life of faith. What do you believe? Mm-hmm. Do I believe these bad circumstances are my ultimate reality? Mm-hmm. Or is my relationship with God my ultimate reality? Yeah. And I make a choice on that. Because we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to peace, but don't let your heart be troubled. Yeah. That's a choice I make, because I can either think of this side or I can think of this side. Mm-hmm. So Paul says the first great act of faith is to move. Rejoice in the Lord always. Put it first. Hanley Moll was very big on the fact that this is always the first thing in the Christian life. Mm-hmm. The first thing to do is rejoice. He says it's not the most important thing you'll do, but it is the first thing you have to do because it sets the tone of faith.
Hmm. So, and it's a key marker in your life of how God is working in your life because it's a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And love, joy, peace. And so we are all called to rejoice despite our circumstances in who the Lord is. How do we go about encouraging people who are struggling with rejoicing? Like, how do you, what would you say to them?
Back to the matter of how is joy created? Okay, how does the Spirit of God create it? You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Okay, so it's more than that, but that's more enough for us today.
Yeah.
But how does the Spirit create joy in my heart? It's not by just flooding me with joy. It's by pointing me, because his role in the experience of men on this earth is to glorify Jesus Christ, lift him up to him. Mm-hmm. It's the role of the Spirit of God to tell me who Jesus is to me, who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So what does the Spirit do? The Spirit points out to me that certain things are true through the Word of God. Mm-hmm. He tells me this is so. And then he calls me. He not only illumines me to that truth, he then enables me, strengthens me. Those are Paul's two great prayers, remember? Yeah. Be illumined, to be strengthened. The Spirit of God then strengthens me to trust him on that. Mm-hmm. If I trust him on that, I'll have joy. So in helping a person, all we can do is go back to the same thing. This is a real circumstance, and we sympathize with people in their real circumstances.
Yeah.
But this is your ultimate circumstance. And we have to look away to that. And if we can, in faith, look away to that, then we will find that, okay, I can rejoice right now.
Do you just define what illumine means for?
Okay. Illumine, just, we can know things without understanding them. Mm. Right? I've often thought about, I can remember the day. I remember a day. I don't know what, when I'm a little kid and I'm learning my mathematics. Mm-hmm. When I was sitting there looking at a series of tables on multiplication, and I got it. Hmm. You still remember this little? I don't know what first, second grade. I don't know when it was when I understood. Oh, I get what's happening here.
Yeah,
we were old school and we had done it by the memorization process. You know. We memorized our tables, mm-hmm. right? So you go through all these tables, but you don't know what you're memorizing. You just know this is the right answer if you're given this thing. But then there was that insight. Insight is that, oh, that's what's going on here. Mm. The Spirit of God wants to bring us to that, to show us that this is what's happening. This is reality. This is truth. Mm-hmm. We can know it. See, I can know that all things work together for good and never have it change my. I can know it technically.
Yeah.
But there comes a point at which the Spirit of God comes to you, if you would, and makes that clear to you that, hey, all things are working together for good. Mm-hmm. And because they're all working together for good, you can rejoice no matter how bad it looks, because you know that behind it is a loving God working it together for good. Mm. Then I have to trust him for that. So I have the illumination and then the faith that follows that. Okay, I'm going to trust you for that. And therefore, the action of faith is to rejoice in the reality that doesn't look like it's a reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's true. According to the word of God.
What is true? Yeah, okay. That's really good. When I was studying for this, I was thinking about that verse in Philippians 3:8, where he says, Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." And in Philippians, he talks a lot about joy.
Yeah.
And that Christ is more sweet and valuable to us than the best of our circumstances.
Right.
But also, when things are going really wrong, he is sweet and valuable. And so there's like that rejoicing in him in both ends. Like he's more valuable than our best circumstances, but he is more valuable than any loss that we could experience in our worst of circumstances.
Yeah.
So that was just something that I was like, oh, that was interesting. Something that the Lord kind of showing me. How would, I guess we've kind of covered like how you would encourage somebody in that, but for an unbeliever, like looking into Christianity, and we talk a lot about joy, and how would you explain it in like really simple terms, the joy that we have in Jesus to someone who doesn't understand Christianity?
Yeah. You're going to run into a problem of them thinking you're nuts. But other than that, the difference is this, that, and you can explain it, that you have a solid reality that you can count on.
Yeah. That in their life, that is
that they
not.
Don't have in their life. And no, you can't understand my joy because you don't have this reality. You haven't come to the place where you've trusted the Lord. And because of that, you can't count on what I can count on.
Yeah.
I can count on. Well, just think about some of those things that we could say. You know, what would be some of the things when we say we're rejoicing in the Lord? What are some of the things that I find that help me rejoicing in the Lord? Promises. Here it is. Here's one of them.
Yeah.
Right now, while we're here, the Lord Jesus Christ is here. He's here. Mm-hmm. In the worst circumstance I'll ever experience on this earth, he's there. Mm-hmm. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's a reality. To be happy because the Lord of glory is with me is to rejoice in the Lord. It's to stop and think that the one who is with me has complete control of all circumstances on this earth. Okay. That would be, that's not all of rejoicing, but that's the way you rejoice.
Yeah.
You count. Okay. That's the reality. If I know today, which I do, that no matter whatever happens to me on this earth, well, again, let's put another way. When the disciples came back after a really fruitful ministry, shocked that they could say to demons, "Get out," and they got out. Mm-hmm. They're all thrilled with their power.
Yeah.
Jesus says to them, "Don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in this, that your names are written in the book of life."
Yeah.
Rejoice in that. That's a reality. My name is written there. Not because of anything I did, but because of what the Lord did for me. Mm-hmm. It's written there. Whatever I experience on this earth is a few fleeting moments, and then eternity's out there because of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that means that now I can rejoice in him that, hey, you have a purpose. I'm going to share in the inheritance with Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. So I can rejoice, not in the inheritance, but in him.
That future hope and that future reality that is promised. Yeah.
And it's where it becomes important for us to see when an unbeliever hears this. I know I was an unbeliever for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what you hear. You rejoice because Jesus can do good things for you. Because he can give you the things that guy thinks would make him joyful. If he had a good marriage or he had lots of money or he had, I don't know, whatever he thinks would make his life happy. And so he says, he interprets this in terms of, well, you have a God who can give that to you. Mm-hmm. And that isn't Christian joy, but that's the idolatry of this world. It wants to seek God so that it gives what they think is the happiness end.
Yeah.
But the Lord himself is the source of our joy. It's his presence. It's his love. It is his promise to us. It is his what he's won for us in eternity. It's him. He's the prize.
Yeah.
Not what he gives. So we rejoice because he is ours completely.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's really easy to go and with our sinful hearts to take the things that God has given us to richly enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like he's given us everything to richly enjoy, food, money, whatever it is. But in that we can make all of those idols.
Right.
And we can find joy in those things rather than in the Lord. And so as a Christian, I think it's important that we, in my own life too, that the things that we enjoy, we ought to also give thanks for. And that's a way to always point back to the Lord and rejoice in him rather than in the things that we have. Because they are good gifts. He's always giving good gifts to us.
And he intends for us to enjoy them.
Yeah.
So we don't want to become monastic. We don't find this joy by cutting that out of our life. Yeah. We find this joy by rejoicing in the one source that is above it all.
Yeah.
And then we hold the rest with an open hand. If it's there, good. Yeah. That's what Paul says. I've learned how to live how to be abased and how to abound.
Yeah.
I know. I can do all things because of the Lord. That's how he's rejoicing in the Lord. No matter what I face, I'll be able to handle it in the Lord. But if I'm abounding, he's not arguing with that. Mm-hmm. If he's abased, he won't cry about that. He's just going to do the will of God. So, and that's why the joy is constant. That's the difference. This is a constant source. There's never a day when I can't rejoice, no matter how bad it gets on this earth.
Yeah. And we always find that. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. So. Well, do you have anything else that you want to add to? Those are all my questions or thoughts.
No, I think that would get it. We have to make it clear that God intends for us to have that joy.
Yeah.
And it's first in the Christian life because this is our big test of faith. Rejoicing is really a huge test of faith. Do I believe? Am I going to be caught up here or am I going to be caught up here? And I like it's one of those verses again that just helps me a lot when in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, looking away unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus means to look away. This is reality. Okay, here's my real circumstances. Then I'm going to look away from that to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's same thing in a sense that he did, because at the cross, which was a totally unjoyous experience, it still says he had a joy. What was his joy? His joy was in the completion of his Father's will in us knowing him. Mm-hmm. He could look past that. He can look past that in faith and trust his Father. And that's the experience of joy. It's looking past this to that.
Yeah.
But if this is good, enjoy it. But don't look past it to him.
Yeah.
Even when it's good. But when it's evil, when it's not so good, look past it. Because this is a reality, and he'll meet you all the way.
That's
amen.
Really good. That's really good. Thank you guys for listening. And you can, as always, listen to all of our previous episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as on YouTube. Like and follow and subscribe to our channels. And we will see you again next week. May the Lord bless you.